If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Paul, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
You are definitely living in the hindsight world today, Paul.
Took down the Tampa Bay Rays yesterday at that minor league ballpark, 4-3. The first back-to-back road wins for the Astros all season, May 19th and May 20th. But hey, they're ahead of schedule compared to last year. The real question is, how long is that going to last? Because the latest update, when it comes to Yordan Alvarez and the hand issue that has sidelined him for a couple of weeks now, has me pretty concerned. This is a headline from the Houston Chronicle from Matt Kawahara. Astros slugger Yordan Alvarez says his hand is better, but he can't swing a bat without pain. What kind of pain? I'm not 100% sure. Here is what Yordan Alvarez said through his interpreter. His hand is getting better, but he still feels it when he swings. He said he played with the hand hurting for a while, but it reached a point where I had to stop because the hand started getting inflamed. Alvarez said he is hitting in the cage and is unsure of a timeline to return. He said if he's pain-free, it could be tomorrow, it could be the next day, but we're going to keep working for it to be 100%. 100% is a very hard place to get back to for anyone, especially the further and further that we get into this season. He might be dealing with this in some degree all year long. So how long is it going to take a hand injury that he's been dealing with for a while that got inflamed to go away? And will it happen again? All great questions that when you think about the Astros training staff or medical staff, it's hard to feel good about the possible answers, whether they give it to you or Yordan Alvarez, who famously, it seems, back in the day, did not tell Dusty Baker which of his hands was hurt. Alvarez updates are a little sketch themselves. Whether done through an interpreter, maybe it's the interpreter, maybe it's lost in translation, or it's Alvarez. Everything's always murky with this guy when it comes to days that he sits out, injuries that he is dealing with. If he is dealing with a hand injury, they're not going to make the playoffs. I feel very comfortable saying that. They need more runs right now, and they are barely scoring enough. Their starting rotation is, at the moment, held together by rubber bands and duct tape. I mean, Colton Gordon's being thrown out there. Lance McCullers is being thrown out there again. And you're about to see another new name on the mound today. Brandon Walter. Never heard of him before. Hopefully he does as well as Colton Gordon's done. What Colton Gordon did in these two starts, honestly, shocking. You didn't expect this from him. He's been solid. So they need all the help they can get, especially from an offensive perspective. Altuve is slumping. Christian Walker has not been hitting. Yiner Diaz has been disappointing. It can't be just Jeremy Pena and Isak Paredes. And without Yordan Alvarez, who is the only lefty of consequence in their lineup, they're in a rough spot. And hearing that Yordan needs to be back at 100%, per him, makes me wonder how long this is going to last. Is a Kyle Tucker-length absence completely off the table? How can you say it is? How could anyone say it is? You can't. You just can't. If he's looking to get back to 100%, that could be a while. Especially if he's been dealing with this for a while and the inflammation is acting up. Like, what happens if he comes back out there and the inflammation, it reappears? And it's a hand that we're talking about. I mean, it's Yordan Alvarez's most important body parts. His hands. He swings a bat. So that's every single swing. That's every single contact that that bat makes with the ball that's going to be putting stress on said hand. At least he's not in the field, I guess. But what if he feels the need to field like he always seems to do? Oh, more hand issues with whatever hand it is, which I honestly just do not trust Yordan. Yordan could tell me it's his right or his left. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't believe him entirely based off of that time a couple of years ago with Dusty Baker. He's been playing with the pain a while. I'm curious as to what the pain level is. You know how if you go to the doctors, there's that chart. It's like a 1 through 10 pain chart. And it shows a bunch of different smiley faces with various forms of, if you're watching on YouTube, and all sorts of hilarious
like emoji faces. Yeah, all the way up. Yeah.
It's all emoji faces. Great point. I really need to know 1 to 10 where Yordan is, and I don't think the Astros are capable of finding that out with that training staff. If it is close to 1 or 2, he kind of has to suck it up, doesn't he? And I don't know how you pressure a guy who's done so much for this organization, but less on Jose Altuve, how you pressure a guy like this to say, hey, man, you got to play through this 100%. Is that really going to happen? Because it feels like the Astros have always let Yordan, if he's not 100%, have the day off. And I'm not even calling out Yordan here. I'm just saying this has been the reality. So how much longer is he going to be out? Just given the way that the Astros seem to let him be, it seems like it will be longer and longer and longer. And that's bad for where this team is right now. To their credit, the bullpen has been carrying them. The starting pitching has been making the most of its opportunities. I'm bewildered and shocked that they have done what they have done to this point this year. I mean, obviously, yeah, you got Hunter Brown, you got Framber Valdez, but Blanco's been back to form. But after that, I mean, Hayden Wesneski, he's about to get Tommy John surgery. Who knows if we've seen the last of him as a Houston Astro. Spencer Arrighetti's dealing with the thumb injury from that freak accident that he suffered because a ball hit him while he was in the outfield. What the hell, by the way, Astros? Like, how does that happen? And you're basically asking Lance McCullers to give you anything, which I feel like is asking a lot considering the guy's been out of baseball for 3 effing years. So this Yordan thing is concerning me, and if the headline is from the Houston Chronicle, he can't swing a bat without pain, you got to imagine that this is going to keep happening, and it's going to stay a problem for the remainder of this season. 713-780-3776 to call to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Far too many inappropriate texts asking about what other things Yordan Alvarez might be using his hands for. And I'm not talking about video games, folks. I'm not talking about a keyboard and mouse playing a shooter.
Doesn't have carpal tunnel.
I'm not talking about Call of Duty on the Xbox or on the PlayStation. Right, we're not talking about carpal tunnel. Some other texters are asking, Paul, can you go back to the margarita discussion? They raised the prices. Margaritas are $5 more expensive at Dyke and Park.
It hurts my hand every time I have to hand over my debit card because it's $21 now.
Ugh.
I can't do it without pain, and I won't do it unless the pain's gone.
I'm moving to a credit card now. I'm going to put myself in debt. I'm going to put myself in debt, perhaps have to give up my house, my cat, so that I can get that LT Info margarita. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. The athlete in Houston that everyone has the most questions about just did something that's got some people back on his side. And what could this team do in the coming weeks to improve itself? Here's a suggestion. The Paul Gallant Show, Sean Mapes behind the glass. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Jalen Green, did he just take the first step towards a year five leap? A lot of people are excited about what just took place in the last 24 hours. Jalen Green posted this to his Instagram story. Dot, dot, dot. Leave my girl out of it. I'm deactivating my she for offseason. Spelled S-H-I. End quote. Jalen Green is getting off social media for this offseason. Rockets launch, right? That's exciting. Now, I think every athlete should get off social media. Honestly, if I could, I would get off social media. I hate it. I hate the amount of time I spend every day getting sucked into Instagram reels. I hate what my X/Twitter for you has become, especially over the last 48 hours. I 100% blame Robert Griffin III, but more so Ryan Clark, for turning it into the absolute abomination, an amalgamation of Emmanuel Acho hot takes on what Ryan Clark and Robert Griffin III are saying to one another. I mean, oh God, it's brutal. I would get rid of all social media if I could. So has Jalen Green taken the first step towards a year five leap? Maybe. Has he taken the first step towards enlightenment? Yes. I think we can all agree on that. Guys, if you can do it, cut social media out of your life. Then cut video games out of your life. Video games are bad. I can't do them. I'm an addict. I'm a video game addict. Coming clean right now, Sean. You know what happened over the weekend. I fell back.
Oh, really?
I fell back. Civilization 3. Can't stop playing it.
Can't stop playing it.
Won't stop playing it. Never will win playing it. That's the worst part about it. It's like, I think gambling addicts might have it better than me, because I just keep on spending so much time on this game, which I have played for at least 550 hours per Steam over the course of my life. Okay? So it's an addictive thing. Yeah. Everyone should stop playing video games. And everyone, and I mean everyone, they should get off social media. If you can. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I have to stay here.
If not, follow at ESPN on all social media.
Yes, my bad. Before you do that, before you get off, just give a follow.
Throw a follow.
At ESPN 975 on X. At ESPN 975 on Instagram. At ESPN Houston on YouTube. At ESPN 975 on Twitch.
Yeah, no, but I do agree.
At ESPN Houston
you.
On Facebook.
Yes. Oh, gotta plug the
Got Facebook. Them all.
I agree with you. Where there's so many times where I think, like, man, I wish I did not have to be on it, social media.
Especially him. I mean, I actually, and part of this is perhaps the contrarian in me, but there's a part of me that thinks, okay, listen, he's clearly not Anthony Edwards. And I'm not going to make excuses for his performance against the Warriors. He has to be better than that. But I also think everyone being completely out on him at the age of 23 because of this series where the Warriors were throwing so much attention at him is also pretty early. It's pretty premature. If you can use him to get a better player, I say do it. But if you can't, I think there's an element of you have to see what he could be. How does he respond to this? Because this is the first like big fail of his life. You know?
Yeah. I mean, if you follow like a bunch of the different like NBA accounts, and your For You page is just all the like NBA Central, and then like the Hater Central, and all the NBA Hoops, whatever. Like they all are different Rockets trade ideas involving Jalen Green, and a lot of them you also have Rockets fans being like, this would be awesome if we could make this trade for Jalen Green to get someone else in here. So yeah, I understand why his summer he doesn't need to be looking at social media, basically be like, either this guy stinks or this guy needs to be traded. Like, it's completely understandable why you would want to peace out on that, especially when, like you said, you're 22, 23, never had this kind of, not just focus, but negative focus on you, and you're a multimillionaire, and your summer is probably going to be pretty sick if you just don't look at your phone.
Right, but make sure you get into the court. Do not get Ben Simmons. Simmons offseason. No. By the way, Ben Simmons still stayed on social media while he was away from the game. Like, still posting. Like, what do you think is going to happen here, man? You think people are going to be back on your side? Like, you're posting a picture of like a beach. Like, yeah, I'm finding inner peace. It's like, well, how about find the bottom of a net?
The best
when you shoot a basketball.
I was going to say the best / worst was every summer he would have
a training video.
Yeah, have a training video where he's making threes, and it's just like. Dude,
like,
we
know
don't
that's
care.
Not going to happen.
We know you
season.
Won't do that.
Right. Like, we've seen Dwight Howard shoot threes in the offseason and make them. We know you're not going to do that. Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's going to be a rumor-filled, gossipy offseason for the Rockets the rest of the way. And we are going to present you with trade ideas, whether they be to go and get Giannis Antetokounmpo. We have a segment called Giannis Antetokounmpo watch, but we also have this segment. Are the Houston Rockets big game hunting again?
Should the Houston Rockets be big game hunters?
One of the biggest mistakes I ever made was with this big crocodile right here. I had him over there and he started up the young blokes and tried with the young female, so I had to catch him out.
It's win now mode, baby. We're looking for a star.
Let's go. Bill Simmons. Ryan Russillo. On the Bill Simmons podcast, threw out this possibility for the Houston Rockets this offseason.
You know, like looking at Houston, if Houston was going to say, we'll take Jalen and Drew, and we'll give you Van Vliet back and Jabari and Eason, and we'll give you the 10th pick and you know, you'll save like $20 million. We can make it work with our cap. And that gets you under the second apron right there and gets you a rebuild. I think they would have to think about deals like that. And then if you're Houston and you can get Jalen and Drew in the same trade and give up assets, but not touch Thompson and not touch Şengün and, you know, keep enough going. That's the type of trade.
So what do we think about that trade idea? This is a deal that would get the Rockets, Jaylen Brown. Now, when it comes to Jaylen Brown right now, something to keep in mind, dealing with some sort of meniscus injury for Brad Stevens. It's the offseason, and it's not like he's dealing with a torn Achilles like Jason Tatum. Also, you'd get Drew Holiday. I will say this as a Celtics fan. I was very disappointed in Drew Holiday in this series against the New York Knicks. Not quite as disappointed as I was in Kristaps Porzingis, but honestly, Porzingis is dealing with some sort of weird illness. Drew Holiday not. It was a pretty disappointing series for Holiday.
Yeah, his illness, at least right now, seems to be I am 34 years old.
Right. But if you're only giving up Fred VanVleet, which, by the way, never has to buy a drink in this town again, and no slander accepted anymore after what he did against the Warriors in that playoff series. I thought he was awesome enough to, at the very least, get your respect, stop calling him out all the time. Jabari Smith Jr., who's not even a starter anymore. Tari Eason, who is the guy with the high upside, that is somebody that the Rockets have compared specifically Ime Udoka to Kawhi Leonard, and pick number 10. I mean, you're getting two guys that are making you into a Western Conference frontrunner. Now, is Jaylen Brown going to be able to carry a team by himself? I don't know. I will say, as a Celtics fan, I always trusted Jaylen Brown more than I trusted Jason Tatum. And if the Rockets were trying their best to make me jump bandwagons, just like they did with the customized Paul Gallant jersey that they got me, the way to do it would be to get Jaylen Brown. Even if Tatum was healthy, it would be to get Jaylen Brown. I love Brown a lot, but I also think you got to remember that in Game 6, like when it was time for Brown to step up, Brown did step up at first. He did his best at the very beginning of that game, but it was, you know, he was not enough on his own.
Yeah, he's just not – right now he hasn't proven to be a go-to number one in a big playoff moment. Even with winning the finals MVP last year, there was really no game where he had to, like, put on the cape, so to
speak,
exactly. for your team and be the – well, sorry, Jason Tatum, but be the Superman for your team. Pour one out for that integrated commercial.
They got to stop doing it. Have they gotten rid of it?
They're pulling it.
Good.
They announced they're pulling it. But yeah, Brown just isn't the type of, or hasn't shown to be the type of guy who can be that number one, you know, the Anthony Edwards, the Giannis, the Jokic, the guy front and center on your team next year, whether it's on the Celtics or if he does get traded, that probably will be his role, and it'll be really the first time in his career he's been the number one guy, because he was drafted 1 year ahead of Tatum, but after Tatum's rookie year, it was pretty much like, oh, of these young guys, it's kind of Tatum's kind of the one to go with, and they've, you know, developed together since then, but it's always kind of been Tatum one. Just yeah. like one notch ahead of Jaylen Brown.
But not that far. And I mean, as a Celtics fan, I would be concerned if Tatum does not have Jaylen Brown. You know, I feel like it's.
Yeah.
You know, if we're going to.
Brown without Tatum might be better off than Tatum without Brown.
Tatum is Superman, if we're going to continue that, you know, commercial. Yeah. But
who's Richard Jefferson?
Jaylen Brown's Batman.
Oh, okay.
So it's like he has more. Like, I feel like Brown's going to have a plan and be more. And honestly, be more reliable. But. Jason Tatum is basically, comparatively, close to a god, minus the kryptonite thing.
Yeah, the kryptonite is Jason Tatum wanting to take a 28-foot step-back jumper at all times.
Right.
That's exactly. Like, he's like, I just love doing it.
I have to. I must.
I've Jalen Brunson on me. Of course I'll do it.
Some comments. Nathan Tope says, who would they even trade him for? The only people I can think of. Devin Booker, Giannis, Jalen Brown. That's one of them. Brown, you'd want Brown over Booker. I think Booker ship has sailed, honestly, based off of reports coming out of Rockets camp. It's more likely, honestly, that it would be Kevin Durant at this point, too. But even that, I'm a little bit skeptical about. I think, honestly, if the Rockets go after anybody hardcore, it's going to be Giannis 1, probably Jaylen Brown 2.
Yeah, and Brown, like Booker, is a little bit of the... He needs to be made available. Giannis, too, but we kind of all think Giannis is going to be available. But the... Brown thing is that you have to remember the Celtics like don't have to trade Jaylen Brown. They have to cut money, but they don't have to trade Jaylen Brown to do that. They, like you said, Kristaps probably played his last game as a Celtic, or at least Celtics fans hope.
It's going to be tough to trade him.
Yeah, right. And then you have Holiday, who I think if you're the Celtics, you'd prefer to trade Holiday over White if you have to choose one of those guards.
Contract they gave him. Oof. For Holiday, too. Like, there's a lot of unmovable deals.
Maybe the Celtics will have to trade one of their guys that they want to keep just because the guys they don't want to keep, everyone else in the league is like, why do we want them?
If there was a way that the Rockets, and again, I would hate this as a Celtics fan, but if there's a way that the Rockets could get Jaylen Brown and Derek White, oh my God.
That'd be crazy.
That would be, I mean.
They would just be the Celtics.
Yeah. But with Amen Thompson, hopefully.
Thompson, and you probably don't have to trade Şengün either.
Yeah, you would hope. Anyway. If that's what they could get out of Jalen Green, hell yeah. Sean Mapes behind the glass on Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, we go around the National Football League. And there is a player who just got paid that I bet D'Amico Ryans has an obsession with. Who are we talking about? Stay put.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. 49ers gave the big extension to Brock Purdy over the weekend. They gave Fred Warner, probably the best middle linebacker in the NFL, a 3-year, $63 million extension. I bet D'Amico Ryans wants Fred Warner so bad. Imagine you're coaching this guy who was drafted in the middle of the draft. You have hands-on experience with him. He turns into the best player at his position. You played that position in the NFL, and then you got to go elsewhere. You're always going to be looking for that, no matter what. I think Aziz Alshaier gives degrees of what D'Amico Ryans is looking for, specifically the swarm mentality. But he ain't Fred Warner.
No, no. I wonder how many times he shows guys like Fred Warner clips talks about. It's like
are you like Fred Warner?
Yeah, yeah.
I coached him, by the way. Why aren't you like him?
So when I was teaching Fred Warner how to play this position, this is what I told him. You notice how he has the biggest contract for linebackers now.
I'm sure as an ex-player that D'Amico Ryans is probably a coach who's not taking credit for Fred Warner being who he is, but that's definitely a pelt on the wall that I would point to and say, like, listen, you listen to me. This is the guy that I helped maximize his potential. It would be a little bit, to put it frankly, crap, say someone like Matt Patricia does it, who Matt Patricia famously was obsessed with the fact that he called the play that helped the Patriots win Super Bowl 49 against the Seahawks. Wait, you mean the play that Malcolm Butler stepped in front of the pass and made an interception? I called the play? Cool, Matt. Cool. Stick to the laminated pencil on your ear that you, or excuse me, the laminated call sheet that you have that you used a pencil that you had in your ear to write with. So, Matt Patricia can't pull that off. D'Amico Ryans can.
Matt Patricia, by the way, defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I saw that.
I remember that he was coaching somewhere now.
Is he a national champion defensive coordinator for the Buckeyes? Or is he the defensive
this
coordinator?
This year. This year's the first year. Their old guy left.
Watch out, Buckeyes. I don't know if you're going to be able to repeat. I don't know about that. From the 346, Josh from Philly texts in, all that money and Fred Warner and the Niners still can't stop the tush push, though. Roger Goodell apparently wants the tush push banned. And the Packers have changed their proposal to push all banning. Excuse me. I've done a terrible job writing some of the copy in today's show. Gotten a little dyslexic from time to time. The Packers have changed their proposal to ban all pushing of the runner. This was actually illegal back in 2005. So Goodell wants this, and the Packers want this, and a bunch of other NFL teams want this. And I suppose it is a bit unfair. I mean, this was illegal back in 2005, and they decided to legalize it because referees never made a call when an offensive lineman pushed ball carriers forward. However, I'm going to stand with Philadelphia here. If Roger Goodell wants this, I don't want it. That's how petty I am. That is how petty I am. If Goodell wants it, I'm against it. By default, because he slandered the greatest athlete in the history of sports and had him suspended as long as Ben Roethlisberger was suspended for an incident that took place in Milledgeville, Georgia. And if you think I'm ever giving up on that, hell no. That'll probably be my dying breath when Goodell's probably already gone from this world. Goodell slandered Brady's good name with the Deflategate crap. I'll never let it go. Anything that Goodell wants, I will push against it. Anything. Hell, it might even hurt my favorite team by being against it. But if it's against Goodell, doesn't matter.
Patriot touchdowns are now worth 12 points instead of...
No, I'm against it. F you, no. Goodell. You're never going to... You never, ever, ever are going to get my trust back. Which, by the way, he never had. Because, you know, commissioners are just as bad as politicians.
Yeah. I mean, I'm for the bit. It's reached the... Tell me the rule, and I'll live with it. I get why Josh from Philly is like, they can't stop this. Why are you trying to ban it? I get that. I'm fine with that. I also do remember a time where pushing someone in the back was illegal in the NFL, and it's just gone away. I don't know why.
It's like, weird that they legalized that because it was never called, and yet when it came to the 5-yard contact rule, which was in place in the NFL but was never enforced, and the Colts cried because the receivers couldn't get off jams by wide receivers against the Patriots, then all of a sudden they started enforcing the rule. It's weird what they choose. I think that they're always of the mindset that more offense is better, but this offense is rather unstoppable for this one specific team. Is that because of the Eagles exclusively? Probably. Like, the other teams can't really do it.
It seems like it.
They can't really, but it is weird that they made that legal 20 years ago, and that it's taken this long for some team to start spamming it.
Yeah, I think it's the same case in college, because in college in 2005 you had the USC Notre Dame game, which was decided by a quarterback sneak where Reggie Bush illegally pushed Matt Leinart into the end zone.
Forgot about that one.
And that was like a controversial no call.
And Notre Dame got hosed in it.
Yeah, Notre Dame got hosed.
It's kind of awesome. And I hated both those schools in that game, but it was a fun game.
Yeah, no, it's something where I guess I forgot that they apparently both, because you can tush push in college too.
Oh, and I didn't know that.
Teams are terrible at it, believe it or
not.
That
makes sense.
But I don't know why they made it legal, and I would kind of be for making it illegal again. It's more than just the tush push. It's also when a player's forward progress gets stopped, and then three offensive linemen go and push him for a first down. I'm just like, what are we doing here?
Exactly.
Like, his forward progress was stopped. I don't know why, if you have three fat guys then push you, that means you get a first down. I don't know.
That is bizarre. So I think most teams in the NFL that are against this are right. But again, if Roger Goodell wants it, I don't.
Yeah. They're all NFC teams, too, that are loudest about this.
Yeah.
Wanting to be stopped. Which makes sense, because they have to play the Eagles.
NFC still seems rather top-heavy.
Yes.
And it is the Eagles and everybody else. We'll see if the 49ers are back in that conversation this coming season. I really think that's the only team, talent-wise, that can keep up with Philadelphia. But obviously, the time that they played each other in the NFC Championship game, Brock Purdy's elbow stopped. So.
I'd say maybe Detroit, but they have questions with their coaching.
They had to
replace both coordinators.
I trust Purdy more than I trust Goff.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like, Goff, it's
close.
Goff's one of those things where I remember him a long time ago, and I can never get that out of my head, knowing that it's always there.
A lot of baggage.
Even though he has matured tremendously as a quarterback and seems to be a good dude, I just can't get that out of my head. With Purdy, I don't have that yet.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's understandable.
NFL is going to let players play flag football at the 2028 Olympics. What if we lose? I think it's possible.
I think it's possible. That's why they should have banned it for this one. So you have the dream team in your back pocket of, if you ever lose, boom, we're bringing the pros.
I agree. I think that's a good point. But that one guy was really annoying, saying that NFLers can't do what I do. It's like, bitch, you would be in the NFL.
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Also, he was a quarterback where
he was 5'8".
Yeah, he was a 5'8" quarterback, and I understand the reservations about some positions being able to translate to flag football. I think Patrick Mahomes with no pass rush, I think he would be able to figure this out. I just think that he might be able to be a better quarterback than this rando.
He already makes it seem like he has no pass rush that he's facing.
Yeah, he plays flag football.
No one's better at extending plays than Mahomes. It's insane how good he is. I mean, there's so many things that he does well, but that in particular, he is so hard to sack once he gets outside the pocket. From the 832, someone texted in, y'all sleep on the Vikings. You have a rookie quarterback. Can the Viking guy shut up? Like, this is the worst. Who's the other person that's been annoying me of late? There's been one for Dallas Stars. Yeah. That person and this Vikings fan. Guys, relax, okay? J.J. McCarthy's your quarterback. If you're good, great. We've never seen him play. Stop.
Yeah. Stars, by the way, play tomorrow night.
Who are they playing?
Edmonton.
Don't care. Okay. Oh, okay. Gotcha. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Some people wanted that. YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 975. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I am Paul Gallant. Speaking of that Brock Purdy contract, is CJ Stroud about to get paid? And why didn't the Texans do this offseason? First, though, let me tell you about my friends at Rize, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You go to that website, and if you want to spice things up in the bedroom, if you want to get that spark back, this is the place to do it, because Rize is offering something brand new to the game. It's called the Reds Max. It's a rapid enhanced dissolving strip that combines sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. It's in a condom sized little pouch. Very discreet, slim. No one's going to know you have it. And all you got to do, put it underneath your tongue. 5 minutes. It's ready to go. You're ready to go. It doesn't melt. It doesn't break in your pocket like the pills. It works on a full stomach, and it's got all of these ingredients. And fellas, it's a good time. It's a good old time. RiseHealth.com. You enter the promo code 975 after you talk to a board-certified physician for 5 minutes, and you're going to get 20% off your first order. 20%. This is revolutionary stuff, and it could potentially save your relationship. I think that's the most important thing here. So why not go to the website, do the 5-minute consultation, and give them a try? I mean, this isn't something to skimp out on. This is something to go out and actually fix, because we live in a world where you can't fix it. Rise, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com, promo code 975. Your eyes up, your eyes up, your eyes up with risehealth.com.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in town. Lots of people are like, oh, the NFC's not top heavy. Keith from L.A. Put some respect on the Rams' name. Sir, you're from L.A. We get it. You like the Rams. I know that game was close between the Eagles and Rams, but what did Saquon Barkley have in two games against the Rams? 1,000 yards rushing? I'm exaggerating, but not by that much. I think he was halfway to that in two games. So that's number one. Number two, the Vikings guy. Won 14 games with Sam effing Darnold and have the best roster top to bottom in the league. How did that look in the playoffs? How did that look? Like, Darnold obviously doesn't handle pressure very well, but didn't they just press the reset button on their offensive line this offseason? And a rookie quarterback's going to look better. I don't know. You seem very confident. I would not be that confident in J.J. McCarthy. What was he, the fifth pick of quarterbacks in round one of that draft that's now a little over a year ago?
Yeah, I think it was. I think Nix was the only one after him, yeah.
Right.
He was 10th or 11th.
Yeah.
Nix was 12th.
Yeah. So, and we haven't seen him yet. I mean, he might be good, but he also might be Trey Lance. Like,
yeah. And he was a quarterback who wasn't asked to do a ton in college, then had a knee injury. So,
yeah.
I think it's fair to say that he's a question mark. I don't know. I think that's fair for me to not be sure that he's going to be awesome. To pencil him in.
You know what else is a question mark?
What else?
Are the Houston Texans going to give C.J. Stroud a Brock Purdy-esque contract?
Oh.
Because over the weekend,
it's a national story.
The 49ers gave Brock Purdy a 5-year, $265 million deal with $181 million guaranteed. This is a deal that we have yet to see the Texans give out under Nick Caserio. It stands to reason that whatever deal C.J. Stroud gets from the Texans, who would be crazy to not sign him to an extension, is going to feature a ridiculous amount of guaranteed money, a no-trade clause, because even Brock Purdy got one. But it will be something that we haven't seen the Texans do yet. Quarterbacks are different than positional players. You want to keep Stroud as long as you can. I think he has shown enough to this point where you, at the very least, do not care how much the next contract is going to be. But I do wonder what that figure is going to be. Because I look at Stroud versus Purdy, and Purdy's been very good. But do I look at Brock Purdy, especially remembering that Super Bowl performance, where he was all right. It wasn't bad, but he was all right. Do I look at Purdy and say to myself, like, yeah, this guy is worth that? I don't know. He's definitely worth it more than Trevor Lawrence is to this point because he has gotten further. But this is going to be a very interesting year for Stroud. I'm very curious as to how people are going to feel, because I think everyone is going to feel absolute in their opinion about Stroud after this coming season. There will be no more, oh, he can get better. There will be no more, I haven't seen enough. No, 3 years. That's generally when you make your decision about what a guy can be, whether fair or unfair. And it's going to be very hard-pressed for that guy to change your opinion of him.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing a situation where he doesn't get a deal from the Texans.
Right.
To me, it's more about, will he be in the kind of Tua Brock Purdy range of money, or will he be in the Joe Burrow, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence side of things? Where is he going to be? Basically, mid to low $50 million per year annual average, or will he be above that? Will he be over 60? Will he pass Dak Prescott? I don't know if he can quite get there, but I think that with C.J. Stroud, I think what you said is right. Like, whatever you feel about C.J. Stroud, like, you'll be more clear in your feeling of he is a top 15 guy. He's a top 10 guy. He's a top 5 guy. Wherever he lands, I think we'll have more of a consensus after this season.
I think there's a chance he gets a 3-year deal. I think there's a chance that Caserio tries to pull that. He's like, hey, 3 years, a lot of guaranteed money, because he's only been giving up the 3-year deals. Yeah. I'm curious.
I don't know. I think with Anderson and Stroud, you got to just.
Well, I agree with that. I do not think Anderson will get the long-term deal. I think Anderson will get the 3-year deal. I think the quarterback is the only possible exception here, but Nick Caserio has not given out a contract longer than 3 years to this point. Derek Stingley, nope. Nico Collins, nope. He doesn't do it. Is a quarterback going to be the exception? If you're a quarterback, would you want to get the long-term deal, or would you want to get the 3-year deal that Laremy Tunsil got that he was able to then one-up with another 3-year deal? Do you want to continue to one-up the contract as opposed to have a contract age and become one of those deals where it's all of a sudden the 10th or 11th or 12th best annual value?
The Mahomes deal, basically.
Right. Yeah.
Mahomes signed a super long contract that I think it's like 46 per year.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, like I just said, like, Jordan Love and Trevor Lawrence are at 55 while Mahomes is at 45.
To the point where they're talking about redoing it already. So, yeah. I mean, Stroud, there's definitely a benefit of, hey, if Stroud lives up to the standard that we think he can, he's going to get more in the next 3-year deal, and then he's going to get to the top again. I think that Caserio looks at contracts that way, and I think Texas players clearly like that there is the ability to get another new deal after the deal that you already had. You're assuming your own health. Gives the Texans a little bit of security there.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I think, I guess to me, when you're signing a guy who's like 24, 25, that's a little bit different. And giving him a 3-year deal, like, I'd rather give that guy a 5-year deal, you know, as opposed to, I get why Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon and the veterans that they signed. I get why you want shorter on the non-star guys. But like we're talking about with Mahomes, like, when you sign a guy to a long contract, one of the stars of the league they feel good about, like, if it's longer, it is better for the team more often than not.
Yes, definitely.
Especially if you're getting a guy for his 20s.
But
that's where I'm, especially for these two guys, where I feel, especially Will Anderson, like, I feel very confident that he'll be in, like, defensive player of the year talks for however long his next contract is.
I agree with you there. I also think at the same time, there is something to being the team that gives out deals like this, because it sets you apart.
It's fully guaranteed for 3 years, probably.
I don't think it's impossible to see a deal like that. We'll see. I only say that because I think it's been very noteworthy that Nick Caserio has never given a contract out that's longer than 3 years as far as the new deal itself. With the Derek Stingley deal, his rookie contract is still something that he's under, but the extension is for 3 years after his rookie contract expires. For now, highest paid corner in the NFL. What happens after that? Other guys are going to get more money. Will he want more money after that happens? It's all down the road. But right now, that's what the Texans are doing, is they're saying, we're going to give you an opportunity to get a new deal. I like it. We will see, though. We will see if this is something that they do with C.J. Stroud. Something they should have done. Joe Tooney, new Bears offensive lineman, who was traded to the Chicago Bears for just a 2026 fourth-round pick, signed a 3-year, $51 million deal, $33.5 guaranteed. It's basically a 2-year contract. So it's basically exactly what a Nick Caserio contract would be. The Texans could have had Joe Tooney. I am convinced of this, especially considering Nick Caserio drafted this guy when he was in New England. Any team getting Joe Tooney over the Texans, to me, is an offseason failure. Any team getting it. I like Nick Caserio. I like the direction he's taking the Texans. It's a fourth-round pick next year. I mean, you stockpile draft picks the way that Nick Caserio does, that's probably one of two. And this was the extension. I thought, okay, maybe he's getting a 5-year, $100 million deal wherever he ends up next. 3 years and $51 million? And I get that he's in his, you know, mid-30s now. Still, come on. That's it? That's all it took? This was doable. The trade was doable. The deal was doable. And you got a bunch of offensive linemen right now, and I don't know if any of them are good.
Yeah, that to me is the biggest part of the Tooney thing. Because when the Tooney deal happened, I think we both were like, well
that's it?
Weird. Yeah, that's weird. That's it. The Texans weren't involved, but I think especially after seeing their draft, like their free agency and their draft plan of offensive line, I think it's very fair to be like, what the hell happened here? Because they didn't really invest heavily or with top-of-the-line assets for offensive line, where you look at the Chicago Bears, a team that did need a completely overhauled offensive line, and they went out and they paid top dollar for it. And listen, the Texans couldn't have paid top dollar for all the guys that the Bears got, but they could have gotten one of them.
Exactly.
They could have got and had a guy who they're adding to this room that you feel confident is a good piece, yeah. And the Texans just didn't do that.
One is better than none. Cam Robinson, Ed Ingram,
Discount Ben.
Lakin Tomlinson, yeah. Who's this other guy all of a sudden they're talking about? Ladarius Henderson, sure.
Jim. Yeah. Ezeri.
Blake Fisher.
Yeah.
Arianti Ursary.
Ursary.
Yeah. A lot of guys. Okay, cool. Wonderful. Splendid. Neato. But see my microphone and just droop down like that?
Yeah, need some rise.
I'm not rising up. Yeah. I'm not rising up with what they got. They could have had Joe Tooney. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. 713-780-3776 to call the text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. The Astros bullpen. Best part of the team. How much longer can it carry the rest of a team that hasn't been awesome? And when are we going to see Yordan Alvarez back out there? All of that on the table. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stay put.